11. Emil came home at about 7:30 that evening. Old Ivor met him at the windmill and took his horse, and the young man went directly into the house. He called to his sister, and she answered from her bedroom, behind the sitting room, saying that she was lying down. Emil went to her door. "Can I see you for a minute?" he asked. "I want to talk to you about something before Carl comes." Alexandra rose quickly and came to the door. "Where is Carl?" "Lou and Oscar met us and said they wanted to talk to him, so he rode over to Oscar's with them." "Are you coming out?" Emil asked impatiently. "Yes, sit down. I'll be dressed in a moment." Alexandra closed her door, and Emil sat down on the old slat lounge and sat with his head in his hands. When his sister came out, he looked up, not knowing whether the interval had been short or long, and he was surprised to see that the room had grown quite dark. That was just as well. It would be easier to talk to if he were not under the gaze of those clear, deliberate eyes that saw so far in some directions and were so blind in others. Alexandra, too, was glad of the dusk. Her face was swollen from crying. Emil started up and then sat down again. "Alexandra," he said slowly in his deep, young baritone, "I don't want to go away to law school this fall. Let me put it off another year. I want to take a year off and look around. It's awfully easy to rush into a profession you don't really like and awfully hard to get out of it. Lindstrom and I have been talking about that." "Well, very well, Emil. Only don't go off looking for land." She came up and put her hand on his shoulder. "I've been wishing you could stay with me this winter." "That's just what I don't want to do, Alexandra. I'm restless. I want to go to a new place. I want to go down to the city of Mexico to join one of the university fellows who's at the head of the electrical plant. He wrote me he could give me a little job, enough to pay my way, and I could look around and see what I want to do. And I want to go as soon as harvest is over. I guess Lou and Oscar will be sore about it." "I suppose they will." Alexandra sat down on the lounge beside him. "They are very angry with me, Emil. We've had a quarrel. They will not come here again." Emil scarcely heard what she was saying. He did not notice the sadness of her tone. He was thinking about the reckless life he meant to live in Mexico. "What about?" he asked absently. "About Carl Lindstrom. They are afraid I'm going to marry him, and that some of my property will get away from them." Emil shrugged his shoulders. "What nonsense," he murmured. "Just like them." Alexandra drew back. "Why nonsense, Emil?" "Why, you've never thought of such a thing, have you? They always have to have something to fuss about." "Emil," said his sister slowly, "you ought not to take things for granted. Do you agree with them that I have no right to change my way of living?" Emil looked at the outline of his sister's head in the dim light. They were sitting close together, and he somehow felt that she could hear his thoughts. He was silent for a moment, and then said in an embarrassed tone, "Why, no, certainly not. You ought to do whatever you want to. I'll always back you." "But it would seem a little bit ridiculous to you if I married Carl?" Emil fidgeted. The issue seemed to him too far-fetched to warrant discussion. "Why, no, I should be surprised if you wanted to. I can't see exactly why. But that's none of my business. You ought to do as you please. Certainly you ought not to pay any attention to what the boys say." Alexandra sighed. "I had hoped you might understand, a little, why I do want to. But I suppose that's too much to expect. I've had a pretty lonely life, Emil. Besides Marie, Carl is the only friend I've ever had." Emil was awake now. A name in her last sentence roused him. He put out his hand and took his sister's awkwardly. "You ought to do just as you wish, and I think Carl's a fine fellow. He and I would always get on. I don't believe any of the things the boys say about him, honest, I don't. They are suspicious of him because he's intelligent. You know their way. They've been sore at me ever since you let me go away to college. They're always trying to catch me up. If I were you, I wouldn't pay any attention to them. There's nothing to get upset about. Carl's a sensible fellow. He won't mind them." "I don't know. If they talk to him the way they did to me, I think he'll go away." Emil grew more and more uneasy. "Think so? Well, Marie said it would serve us all right if you walked off with him." "Did she? Bless her little heart. She would. Alexandra's voice broke. Why don't you go talk to her about it? There's Carl. I hear his horse. I guess I'll go upstairs and get my boots off. No, I don't want any supper. We had supper at 5 o'clock at the fair. Emil was glad to escape and get to his own room. He was a little ashamed for his sister, though he had tried not to show it. He felt that there was something indecorous in her proposal, and she did seem to him somewhat ridiculous. There was trouble enough in the world, he reflected, as he threw himself upon his bed, without people who were 40 years old imagining they wanted to get married. In the darkness and silence, Emil was not likely to think long about Alexandra. Every image slipped away but one. He had seen Marie in the crowd that afternoon. She sold candy at the fair. Why had she ever run away with Frank Shabata? And how could she go on laughing and working and taking an interest in things? Why did she like so many people? And why had she seemed pleased when all the French and Bohemian boys and the priest himself crowded around her candy stand? Why did she care about anyone but him? Why could he never, never find the thing he looked for in her playful, affectionate eyes? Then he fell to imagining that he looked once more and found it there, and what it would be like if she loved him, she who, as Alexander said, could give her whole heart. In that dream he could lie for hours, as if in a trance. His spirit went out of his body and crossed the fields to Marie Shabata. At the university dances, the girls had often looked wonderingly at the tall, young Swede with a fine head, leaning against the wall and frowning, his arms folded, his eyes fixed on the ceiling or the floor. All the girls were a little afraid of him. He was distinguished-looking, and not the jollying kind. They felt that he was too intense and preoccupied. There was something queer about him. Emil's fraternity rather prided itself upon its dances, and sometimes he did his duty and danced every dance. But whether he was on the floor or brooding in a corner, he was always thinking about Marie Shabata. For 2 years, the storm had been gathering in him.